Valentina,
and for those of you who don't know, is an open source fashion design software. We think that there's a lot of room for change in this industry. It's not an open industry. It's the second biggest industry on the planet. It's $1.2 trillion USD a year. It's also the second biggest polluter on the planet and the biggest user of child and indentured servant and slave labor, more so than the mining industry. It's really awful. So it's the richest, but it also is built upon the backs of slaves. This is a horrible thing. Making change in this industry, by starting at the beginning of the design process, we think we can build a new suite of tools that can change everything here. We're replacing the old Victorian assumptions about body proportions with actual body measurements, so that patterns that fit an Italian will also fit someone from Korea, because body measurements, body proportions, are not the same things. And most of our patterns and our current technology are based on assumptions that were made over 100 years ago about how we're shaped, or how we should be shaped. We're also replacing expensive tools and these proprietary interoperable data formats with open source code and open data formats. We want to introduce collaborative design. This industry is fraught with secrecy. It's unnecessary. And wastes a lot of time, it's inefficient, and also keeps people from entering into the industry that could otherwise make a decent living. So it's artificial barriers to entry. And another thing, this small batch manufacturing and batch size equals one is where we want to go. That's what we're trying to empower. We're making that profitable. Right now, the current average minimum sizes for an order of a single shirt in a given fabric is between 5,000 and 10,000 units. That's average. There are 500 million garments made every year. It's a tremendous wasteful industry. So we have Valentina, and we've come up with this. Vermont has come up with a beautiful approach to this problem. But what is it actually doing? What we're doing is we're taking body measurements plus math formulas that we've been able to express, that can be expressed at the level of 10th grade algebra and trigonometry. You know, if you want to do it on paper, you can do it with that level of math. Body measurements plus this math together can make a pattern that fits precisely you. So there's a lot of less ways. If every garment that was ordered has a customer attached to it beforehand, think how much waste doesn't occur. Just in terms of textile, just throwing textiles away. 15% of fabric waste occurs whenever a garment is cut out. So if that garment never sells and it just gets passed along to the resale trade till it winds up as a rag and then is used as the last time and then gets put into a dump, think of how much waste we can prevent. So anyway, we have Valentina, and hopefully, is this going to show? All right. I may not be able to show you how Valentina works because it's not cycling to my window of my Valentina software. That's fine. We'll skip that. And I can give you a demonstration later if you wish. You can just come ask. So where are we? How does Valentina work? We have, GUI. We have sort of a draw mode where you create your formulas and draw your lines, and each line is a result of a beginning line, a formula, and an end line. And the formula can use body measurements, you can use absolute measurements, you can use percentages, you can use angles. It's just it's really, really a very creative process. So what we're doing next is we're trying to engage the community. So we're updating the website. The guys from Fabricators, I don't know if any of you know John Phillips from the Creative Commons background. Anyway, he and his team are helping us with a website to update our current Valentina website. We are also, Ramon and I are creating opportunities for people to contribute to make documentation and translations We're also creating a place so that we can truly implement shareism in this industry, so that just like Open Clip Art, you can download a pattern, copy, remix, make your changes, put it back up for the next person in the ecosystem to pick up and make their changes. Because fashion has always been copy, remix. Like I said, people try to copyright, but you know, their work is always built on the shoulders of others, of the body of work that's gone before. It's not, no one can do this in an independent vacuum. So we're all copying from each other, and it's a great thing, and it always changes all the time. So next, and this is where I want some of my team to come up and talk, Nico and Jonas and Roman, if you'd like to come up as well, and Valentina. We are implementing 3D features because we recognize that the methodology that we use to make a real physical product can also be used to expand the offerings in 3D resources. Right now there's a scarcity for 3D garments. If you want to make a 3D garment, you're still kind of tugging at the points to make it fit your avatar character. So this way, you generate a pattern for your avatar, for your game character, and it already fits. You don't have to tug it. And you can have access to complex patterns. You don't have to worry about, you know, the space between your texture and your... anyway, it's good. So Jonas is a lead developer with Makehuman. Nico is with the CNR... ITSI?
Yes, in Pisa.
In Pisa, the University of Pisa Virtual Computing Lab. Yes. And they have a lot of contributions for this segment of this project.
Okay, you can go on.
So, hi everyone. As Susan already mentioned, I'm Jonas Hokier. I'm currently the lead developer at Makehuman. Some of you might already know our software. So what do? We create 3D humans. We do this in a parametric fashion. We have one single 3D base mesh that we deform into. Actually, we can deform it into almost any possible human realistic shape. This has great advantages for what we want to do, because we can, because this base mesh will always be the same. Go to the next slide. Okay. So this is an example of some of the different body proportions that we are able to do. So the power of Makehuman lies in the fact that we can do all of this with just one single base mesh, as is illustrated here. Now, for clothes making, for measuring, this has big advantages, because once you have defined what you want to measure, for example, you take the measurement of this point to this point, you measure this line, you can reuse this for any type of body. And this is where Makehuman and Valentina can cooperate and help make what we are actually intending to do is you input your body measurements, and we try to create a 3D human that fits your sizes. So this is a new challenge. As up till now we used the parameters that Makehuman is using, and perhaps I can show a demo of this. Let's hope this works. Not.
Is there? Yeah, I couldn't get it to display my.
Okay, but we don't have internet. Sorry.
It's a cool video. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Okay. Sunday at 10 we have a hackathon, and then if you're interested, I can show you more details on the video then. What we do now is we have the parameters we use are not fit for clothing designers. So the challenge we face now is find out a system to go from tailor measurements to and create, find a combination of Makehuman parameters that will fit those measurements to be able to create a virtual avatar with your measurements.
Okay. So, can I come back to the presentation here? Okay. So, I'm Nico Petroni from the National Research Council of Italy. So, I'm working mainly on geometry processing. So, what we have shown here is a model with a lot of semantical information. So, as you can see here, it's not just a 3D model, it's a parametric model with a lot of information. So, you can actually see how this mesh is well structured. It's not just a geometry, it's a set of quads which are aligned with features, which is aligned with curvatures. It's perfect for a lot of applications, not just rendering, gaming. It's also perfect as a parametric model. So what he said before is that you can change measurements and then you can adapt this shape parametrically because the human body is more or less the same. It obeys to some kind of proportion. So this is the ideal world, but what happens if you want to acquire something from real world and trying to transform in this kind of parametric? Because once you have this, so then the passage to Valentina, it's easy because then you have this proportion implicitly in the model, right? This is a parametric model, you can estimate easily. But you have to get this kind of information from a real acquired body, like your body, right? So, and this is where it comes some part of the challenges, and this is a very hot topic in graphics, which is actually how you try to change something that you acquire from some kind of input device in something that you can actually use on a game or a kind of modeling environment in a CAD system or stuff like that. So something that is more structured and full of information. Why? Because if you see, there is a lot of input device like on the market, not just 3D scanning, but also something which is very, very cheap and available for all the people, like, you know, this Tango project from Google or Kinect Xbox. So all these kind of devices that have that produce what we call range scan. You know what is a range scan? Yeah, maybe, yes. It's just an image with depth, right? And what you get when you're trying to process this kind of image is a set of unorganized points. So it's something which is unorganized, and even if it appears nice, it's not actually a model that he's shown before. It's not something very structured. So this is the main difference. Of course, we don't want to put t-shirts on a dinosaur, right? So this is just an example. But as you can see, it's like when a modeler, when an artist creates a model, it put all this semantical information on the object. It's well structured. You can see all the different patterns. While if you acquire something with the scanning, you get something totally unstructured. So and also, you actually want to have something like that, like a mesh with parameters. So this is the gap. So we want to transform something that you acquire in something more structured. And this involves like non-rigid alignment and a lot of research topics. And to go on, I will, you can continue and explaining the whole workflow.
Okay.
In this sense, thanks.
All right. This just sort of shows the segments of the workflow, very basic. You select your data source, whether it's from your Valentina measurements that you've taken with a tape measure, or you import a 3D body scan that's unorganized as of yet, or import a 3D character that already has a mesh that meets the qualifications for meshes in another environment. You pull them into our new workflow, and it will create an avatar that has edge loops and, you know, all the things that's necessary to match up the measurements that you use for pattern making, which are not necessarily the measurements that have been used to create an avatar. So this is really a new approach. So we have a new set of parameters to create this avatar that's specifically designed to enable clothing generation. Then you select your design in Valentina, and you can generate a export it as a 3D pattern format, import it into a Blender or into Blender or a Blender-like environment, and stitch the pattern around the avatar because it already fits the avatar. You don't have to tag it; it's already done. So, and I just kind of I'm showing what the contributions are from team members for each of these things that Make Human and the University of Pisa for the character generation and mesh, Blender developers and all three groups are for this final environment. Thank you. Then at the end of the pipeline, this workflow, I just wanted to show you that, so we have, if you select a single pattern, you can have a 3D output and you export your 3D character, export 3D clothing, but you could also go the 2D route, generate a 2D pattern, print it, save it as a PDF to maybe sell to people, print it as an SVG to share to others, send it to a cutting table, and have fabric automatically cut for you, and sewn, so you have a real garment here. So they're the same pattern. So theoretically, you could wear the same thing that your avatar is wearing in Warcraft. I just think it's awesome. So you can do this, you know. So we have opportunities for 2D development. Roman, did you want to talk about this, or do you want me to talk about it? Okay, I'm sorry. I'll go ahead and do it. We have some issues with file formats and file format definitions, exporting to different things. We have new tools that need to be developed. Of course, we have a set of tools that are very similar, so we need people to contribute, and I think the bar is not out of your reach if you'd like to be a contributor. We have 3D contributor opportunities. Did you want to talk about that real quick? Or okay. 3D reconstruction, basically implementing the things that these gentlemen talked about earlier, Jonas and Nico. So we really could use some more team members. And our roadmap is, I think we're giving ourselves 12 months to develop the new 3D tools, and hopefully we can hit that mark. We're online at valentina-project.org, and please contact us if you'd like to contribute.
We can take two. I'm just doing this. So, any questions for the Valentina team? Yes, two, I see.
Hi. Congratulations on the great work. I am Renata from Brazil. And you mentioned in the beginning the fashion industry context. And I wondered, how about the change in production, in the supply chain? You mentioned something like printing the designs on SVG and such.
Yeah.
I was thinking, are there other parts of the supply chain, like from the fashion producer to the store, that you see Valentina impacting on? That's more of a philosophical question.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Valentina is sort of our first cut, or the first piece of a new suite of tools for the fashion industry. And I think what you're talking about is making the source of the materials involved and the labor involved transparent, so that if you, and so that it's reportable, and you can grab it and attach all that information, the source information, to a given garment, so that if you had a QR code on the tag of your garment, say it wasn't made to measure, but it was, you know, you had a nice boutique and you were making these, you could scan that QR code, you could find out everything you wanted to know about where the fabric was from, where the thread was spun, everything. Who was the sewist, who was the designer, everything. So you're talking about transparency data in the supply chain. And also, it would probably require a bit of the hyperlink or the Hyperledger stuff, blockchain stuff to implement, so that Everybody contributes their data, but the user can only see the stuff that's appropriate, but there's a whole more ton of data stored somewhere. So that's an entirely different development effort, and it's huge, and it's worthy, and it's next in the future.
Okay, so I take two very quick questions, and then you mentioned a hackathon. It's actually Monday at 10 o'clock. So Monday, 10 o'clock, hackathon. Yes, don't miss it.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Okay, so my question is about the sharing of patterns. I know whenever sort of this idea comes to a new field, there's always different expected norms. It was true with fonts, and I'm just wondering what you could say about how do fashion designers, what do they expect from being able to put something online, and do they have different, do they think Creative Commons licenses fit them, or do they feel like they want something different? And
I think there's a divide. I think there's a divide, we can't lump all fashion designers in the same group. I think people who are more independent and are very honest with themselves and say, yeah, I like what you're doing over there, whether you're a designer or you're just wearing something, I like that. I'm going to take that and I'm going to make some changes to it, and I'm going to have my own voice with this expression. And they recognize that there's a lot of shareism going on there. It's all copy remix, copy remix, copy remix, and you put it out with your own stamp on it, right? You know, you can't. Clothing is one of the three basics of who we are as humans, what we need. Food, clothing, shelter. You can't copyright recipes. You know, it's kind of, there are areas of architecture that you can't copyright, and you can't copyright clothing. So, and we've always copied and shared. You know, 16th to 17th century, we were passing wax dolls and wooden dolls that sprung from Paris and went all over the world. They had diplomatic immunity. The wars going on, the wars would stop, and the armed guard around the fashion dolls would cruise through the battlefield and head to its destination. It was important. It was a very important economic part of life. So these fashion dolls would come from Paris to London or Paris to, you know, somewhere in Asia. And people would say, oh, I like that, but that's too French. I'm going to make this change, or we don't have access to that fabric. We're going to make this other change. And so remix has always been a part of fashion. So I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's not a problem there.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick comment, because obviously you've presented the mix that you're going to go technically between two processes that are obviously not taking the same measurements as a starting point. And I find the project really super interesting, because I think the challenge is not only in the mix in technicals and measurements. I also think the mix in aesthetics is going to be a real challenge, and it's going to become very interesting, because obviously the aesthetics that you presented, Make Human, is completely different from usual fashion aesthetics regarding nudity and other issues that are often dealt very differently in both industries. So yeah, just super good that you do it.
So I'll just keep it with that, and we come back in private conversations with the team and otherwise at the hackathon. And we move on to my omission just earlier. Grafica Libre, can you please come up to the stage? And thank